Well, welcome to the Spiritual Disciplines Workshop. And my name is Jill Weber. And this is, can I introduce you? Or do you want to introduce yourself?
You've got the mic.
This is Peter Giokas. We are members of a house of prayer in Canada called the Greater Ontario House of Prayer. We are both prayer missionaries or urban monastics, or I say to sometimes to people, this is what Protestant monks look like in the 21st century. So we live a lifestyle that is centered around a bunch of spiritual disciplines. Well, Jesus ultimately, but we encounter Jesus through numerous spiritual disciplines and spiritual practices. We live by a rule of life. We're actually Peter and I are both part of the development team of the Order of the Mustard Seed. And if you're interested in finding out what the Order of the Mustard Seed is, you can go to the next workshop after this, right upstairs, where I'll be teaching again. But I think that's probably all that we want to say about us. Gosh, more people than we expected. Okay. Here's what we're going to do today. We have 1 hour. Everything you ever needed to know about spiritual disciplines in 1 hour. Probably not. We're all on a journey, hey? Our hearts are set on pilgrimage. And along the way, God gives us bread for the journey and the tools that we need to go forward. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time practicing a spiritual discipline. And then Peter is going to do some teaching. And then we're going to actually collect some wisdom in this room. I know a few people in this room, and so I already know there's quite a bit of wisdom with regards to spiritual disciplines. And so I want us to have an opportunity to share with one another the means by which we open to God. And the phrase I like to use is, put yourself in the path of oncoming grace. Grace is coming for us, coming towards us. We can position ourselves to receive Him through spiritual disciplines. But we're going to begin in a passage. If you have your Bibles, I did this on the Leaders' Day, so my apologies if you were at the Leaders' Day and you've done it before. That's okay. Jesus will meet you again, probably differently this time. We're actually going to do some meditation on Scripture. And that he asks blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? This is a provocative question. Jesus is always provoking. He's asking us difficult questions that cause us to look on the inside and see what our hearts want to say to him. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the passage probably 3 times. The first time, I'm just going to read it. And you can look at it if you speak another language. Feel free to look at it in your own language. I know that to have the scripture in your own heart language, like Swedish, for example, is good, yeah? You know, you hear it in English, but when you hear it in your own language, it's also good. We're just going to read the first time and pause for a few moments after. And then the second time, and I'll guide us through it so you don't have to remember. The second time we'll read it, and there might be a word or a phrase that just sort of reaches out and grabs your heart. So I'm going to invite you then to say aloud that word or that phrase that just jumps out of that scripture. The third time, we're actually going to pray some prayers of response to God. What does that word or phrase, what does that scripture have to say to us? What is God desiring of us? What do we want to say to God? What do our hearts, what do our souls want to say to God in response? And we'll do that together out loud. So this is actually a shortened version of something called Lectio Divina. It's an ancient prayer practice that the Benedictines have used for centuries to meditate on Scripture and to take time and space for God's Word that is living and active to enlighten the eyes of our hearts. So let's just be quiet together, and then I will read. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do, Jesus?" Let's just sit in quiet for a moment. Let that sink in. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped, and he said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. Just want to encourage you, if there's a word or a phrase in that passage that really kind of grabbed your heart, let's just speak it out loud, maybe three or four or five of you.
Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.
Have mercy on me. What do you want me to do?
Calling you.
I love you.
Shouting all the more. Jesus stopped.
Begging.
He jumped. Right, this that means son of Jesus.
Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Quiet. More, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet. He came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. I just invite you to pray some prayers of response. What's God saying to you? What do you want to say to God? Maybe just a few of us.
Jesus, that you would stop what you're doing to meet with me. mercy on me. Ask and you shall receive.
Lord, I want to throw everything aside that hinders me to come to you in the fullness.
Thank you for your call. Thank you that you call us to shout your name all the more, even when everyone's telling us not.
Father, give us courage to be the servant of the kingdom.
Amen. Now, meditating on the scripture, we make space for God. We open our hearts, we open ourselves before him, and he meets us there, and he does what only God can do, okay? So Peter's going to talk to us a little bit about spiritual disciplines and how they're connected with longing and desire.
First of all, I just want to let you know that Jill and I are not experts in this. We're really no different than you. We just have the opportunity to be standing in front of you. After I've shared my comments and thoughts, we're going to invite you to participate and to share your learning and your experience and your knowledge, because Christ is among us all, and he has taught you as well, and we want to learn from one another. I'm going to speak about spiritual disciplines in general without speaking about specific disciplines. We'll do that following my hopefully brief comments. Keep it on the clock for me, Jill, and
it's right there.
Throw something at me if I get long-winded. There's a passage in scripture that's very familiar to many of us, Matthew 11, verse 28. And it's often a good practice to read it in a translation that you're not familiar with or that's fresh and new. So I want to read these verses in the Message translation. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Work with me and walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? How's your soul today? Do you even know? Are you in touch with what is stirring within you? When Jesus asked Bartimaeus that question, what do you want me to do for you? It required him to have a knowledge of what was going on within him. And I think for all of us, that's where spiritual disciplines really connect. The Spirit is stirring within us and sometimes awakening stuff in us that wants us to cry out and shout out all the more, Lord, have mercy, I'm burned out, I'm worn out, I'm stressed out. I'm anxious, I'm bruised, battered, and beaten. It was not the typical ministry trap. I was so busy serving the Lord that I had very little time to be with the Lord. And I ran out of gas. My soul was a dusty, dry place. And I came to that place where I was just longing for God, because in the midst of work, I'd lost him. Which is the irony of Christian ministry. You know, you're doing it all for Jesus and you can't, and he's not there when you need him. Well, he was always there, but my soul is empty. And I cried out for him. And I discovered a spiritual discipline called breath prayer, a simple one-liner or two-liner, often a verse from Psalms where you just breathe it. You say it on your breath. And my breath prayer that I prayed for many months, Father in heaven, I long to know you. Draw me. Help me. That was the stirring of my heart. That was my desperation. So maybe you're experiencing a desire, a desperation. Perhaps there's a longing in your heart for more. Maybe you're sensing the leading of the Spirit, something He's stirring and working in you. Perhaps there's a struggle that you've been stuck in, or even there's sin that you're battling and trying to be free of. Or perhaps you're going through some kind of a change, or you're experiencing some kind of a challenge in the natural. Those are all opportunities for God to get a hold of us and to awaken those things in us that He knows we need, and that perhaps you're too busy to pay attention to. But that's where it all begins. It's interesting, Jill talked about the questions that Jesus asks people. He stirred things up in a good way. And one of the things that the Spirit will do in our hearts in connection to our desires or our desperations, the things that He sees that He wants to work, He will catalyze that. So the situation was Martha. As you know, she was busy serving, and she was desperate for Mary to leave Jesus and come and help her to get all the food ready. And Jesus challenges her, and He speaks to her and wants her to detach from her addiction to busyness, or her, not addiction so much, what did I write down here? Her drivenness. He wanted her to detach from her drivenness to be with Him. And I think that was my situation. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come get away from life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. It's possible that you've already attended to your soul, that you're already aware of what you're longing for, or what you need, or what the state of your soul is. And perhaps you, like me, and many others, have also fallen into the trap of striving, straining, searching, trying harder, getting up earlier, burning the candle at both ends, just doing what I can to get what I need. And it doesn't work. In fact, it just makes it worse. Willpower and discipline, good as they are, alone will not satisfy your soul. They will not meet that deepest need that your soul is crying out for. In order to recover your life, you need to find it in a different way. As we've heard clearly from Pete Gregg and others this weekend, soul satisfaction, that deep soul satisfaction that we want, comes from only one source and one place, and that is the presence of the Lord. That's being with Jesus. And that's what He says, come to Me, because He knows that we need Him. And He stirs us, and He draws us, and He compels us sometimes to come to Him when we've done everything else and it doesn't work. It's like, if all else fails, read the instructions. And that's the thing that is so good about this. The Holy Spirit knows us better than we know ourselves. He searches the deep things of God, and He searches our souls and our hearts. And He leads us and brings us to that which will bring life and which we need so much. He fans that flame of desire to keep company with Jesus, because that's the source and goal of our deepest need. And that's where spiritual disciplines apply. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to Me. Get away with Me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with Me and work with Me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. If you've come to this workshop thinking spiritual disciplines are going to be the thing, the magic bullet, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but they're not. They're not, just in case, the disclaimer for, I don't know, think anybody in this room is necessarily thinking this, but it's not the latest Christian fad to hit the evangelical church. It's not the newest and the greatest and the revised. It's a very old truth that's been tried, tested, and found true again and again and again. But spiritual disciplines are not the change makers that we want in the sense of that magic bullet miracle cure. The reason I say that is because they're not going to change us. The Holy Spirit is going to change us. He's the transforming agent. He's the power to evoke those things in us that are going to make us the people that God wants us to be. And that's what God says. He is at work in us to will and to do. It's the Spirit of God that conforms us to the image of His Son. And so, but spiritual disciplines are tools that He will use, but they are not the be-all and end-all. And so one of the other things that I fall and pray to, and I'll just warn you against, is thinking that if I just get really good at this one discipline, it will work. So if I get really good at Lectio Divina and I become like a master of this discipline, man, that will be the thing that I really need. Well, it doesn't work that way. These aren't skills that we get really good at and then go, hey, I'm really good at this. Look at me. That's not how these work either. The Holy Spirit, because He knows us so well, intimately, better than we know ourselves, He knows what spiritual practices, what relationships, what experiences of life are what we need and are best for us. It'll be different for each one of us. Many of them will be the same kinds of things, but individually and particularly, they'll be very particularly suited to each one of us. He knows what will fit us best. It won't be ill-fitting or heavy. It'll just fit perfectly. And that was the case of my own sense. As I was learning after this experience of having a dry, dusty, empty soul, and I was being drawn again in a fresh, new way, I discovered some other practices. Daily examine at the end of the day, just sitting and reviewing the day with Christ. Where was He in my day? Where did I lose sight of Him? What was He doing and what was He saying and how was I responding? And just kind of sitting with Him at the end of the day, computer, YouTube videos, I would sit with Him, light a candle, I'd sit in the dark in a quiet place and I'd just be with Him. And I had never done that before, but I found it so life-giving and so refreshing. And then He would tell me things about my day that I hadn't even noticed. And I would have an opportunity to sort of, when my heart was full of stuff, I'd have a chance to sort of meet with Him and share it with Him. Like you might do with a good friend or a spouse or your soulmate or your soul friend. The Holy Spirit knows how to move us into those unforced rhythms of grace. This isn't something that you have to do. This isn't a should or an ought. This is something that you are invited to do. This is an opportunity that through these spiritual disciplines are opportunities that God gives us because He wants us. He wants us to be with Him. He knows us and He wants us. So there's God's part and there's our part. Our part is to bring our desires, our longings, our aches, our failures, our foibles, and make space for God to work. And that's all spiritual disciplines really do. They just create space for God to do something more, or to do something new, or to do something fresh. And oftentimes it'll be something unexpected and delightful. As we open ourselves up in this way of being, God, who's creative, will do a creative thing in us, and He does. It's also helpful, because I've tried this too and it doesn't work, to say, okay, God, This is my agenda. This is what I want to have happen. This is what my plan is. And so I'm looking to you to do your thing, but I want it to be done this way. It doesn't work. But I'm a slow learner. Sometimes I still try. Obviously, we can't make demands of God. We can make requests, but he determines how he will meet us and how he'll answer. And so the thing with spiritual disciplines, and I'll describe a little bit more exactly kind of what they are. They create an opportunity for God to work. And there's a phrase I like. It says that, or it's a cliche, God works as wonders in mysterious ways. Or God works as wonders, something like that. God works as wonders in mysterious ways. Whatever invitation, whatever opening we give him, from a sincere and desiring heart, he will answer that need and he will come. And that's confidence, that's assurance, that's delight, that's hope, and that's life for us. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And that's the key. Keep company with me, Jesus says, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. There's loads of descriptions or definitions of what spiritual disciplines are, and I'm sure we might hear some of them today. One that I like, that works for me, is that spiritual disciplines are intentional practices and postures which we take in order to open up space in our lives for God to work.
Say that again. Nice.
Okay. Spiritual disciplines are intentional practices and postures which we take that open up space in our lives for God to work. Jill has a much simpler, shorter one that I'm sure she'll share with you. So they're intentional in that, and they're practices and they're disciplines. So they're, for the example, the daily examine or the examen, depending on your pronunciation, I purposely chose to do that instead of something else, and I did it on a regular basis. So there's a discipline to it. One year I devoted myself to Lectio Divina, just reading scripture in that slow meditative way to hear his voice and to hear his love for me and then to respond, so that I could practice it and I could experience it over a long period of time, so that I would learn how to get used to it. Not that I would master it, but that I just, it's like a new tool, that I'd know how this tool works and how it doesn't work and how to make the most of it. So I mentioned already that spiritual disciplines are not ends in themselves. If you go into it saying, I'm going to get really good at this, or this is the one that's going to work for me, and I'm just going to be, you know, I'm just going to get really good. That doesn't work. Or if you just think, if I keep doing this, well, that's not the point of it either. Another way of looking at spiritual disciplines is that, one way is that they're doors of our hearts that we open in this particular way. So I might, practice a discipline. I use prayer beads, Anglican prayer beads. And so it's a way of slowing myself and stilling myself and mostly stilling my mind, so that I'm open and I can hear and I'm receptive to the voice of God. And so it's not that I want to get, it's not that they're the perfect means, but they're one means of me being still and quiet before God. This is in my notes, it's a freebie, completely free, but Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. When you read that psalm, and I hope you will, I hope you'll notice that the context of the psalm is anything but still and calm. There's wars, there's tumults, there's earthquakes, there's trouble, all happening in the psalm, which is kind of a reflection of our life sometimes. And in the midst of that, God says, be still and know that I am God. And I have to practice something, a discipline, that helps me to be still before him, because I'm not naturally going to go there. So for me, prayer beads is a way of doing that. I also have an Orthodox prayer bracelet to recite the Jesus prayer, and I just do that, and I repeat it, and it just helps me to center.
What's the Jesus prayer?
The Jesus prayer, there's various versions of it, but it's a simple prayer, and the one I use is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And as I recite it to myself, I just meditate on the meaning of the words, and it speaks truth to my heart, and it calms me, and it helps me. So that's another practice that I found very fruitful for me, but it may not work for you. It just, because I'm a contemplative by nature, those quiet things are better. Although, in truth, because the Spirit knows us and our strengths and our weaknesses, he says, okay, Peter, you love the quiet stuff, but I'm going to do something over here to get you out of the house and into mission and engaging with people. Because you need people. And I need, you need to go to conferences and do workshops so that I can work that part of you, yeah. Okay, spiritual disciplines are not means of gaining success, approval, or respect. They're not badges that we get. Oh, I've got the gospel contemplation badge, woo. Do you have both? They're also not, we're not going to gain spiritual brownie points with God because we've done these things or we've gained them. They're just ways that we put ourselves in God's presence and say, here I am, Lord, I need you. Come and give me life. It's their invitations to let God come and work in us and change us. They're tools that help us to keep company with Jesus. Many of the spiritual disciplines have been developed. It's interesting, historically, when you look at the church and the culture and even church ages, different disciplines were popular at different times because of the various circumstances of life that people found themselves in. So at the very beginning, the early monastics, Anthony and Pachomius and Evagrius and Cassian and people like that, they fled to the deserts of Syria and Palestine and Egypt to get away from empire and all the stuff there so that they could be with Jesus and recover the heart of the gospel. So silence and solitude and those ascetic practices, fasting and just sort of the hard things that they did, living totally alone, that was appropriate at that time. Some of those may be useful, silence and solitude, are still good and they're wonderful. And in fact, they're container disciplines for many of the others. But in our day, with all the social media and the influx of information overload, detachment is a good thing. Unplugging is a spiritual discipline that many find they have to do. They'll go on social media fasts because that's what their soul requires. Get rid of the distractions and just keep company with Jesus. So different disciplines apply historically through different church ages, but also different contexts and times. That's just helpful to know. The other thing about spiritual disciplines that is fruitful and beneficial, they help us not only to connect with God in a fresh way, but they help us to stay connected. My experience in the past is I have great times of prayer, devotion with God in the morning, and then I get into the day and it gets busy and I lose sight of him and I'm kind of on my own again. But some of the disciplines, like fixed hour prayer, where you intentionally stop at set times of the day, you stop your activity, you stop and you pray. Not because you feel like praying, but because it's time to pray. And you develop this rhythm of just stopping and be present. So oftentimes people will pray morning prayer, midday prayer, evening prayer, compline. If you're Benedictine, you're going to pray seven times of the day and night. So that's a special grace. But stopping at fixed times is a discipline where you purposely say, okay, I'm just going to put my work aside and I'm going to remember you and I'm going to recite this prayer and I'm going to sit. That helps me to not to keep God with me, but to keep the awareness of his presence throughout the day. And so that's a, yeah. So there are different disciplines that are appropriate for different times or different seasons of life. I'm at a different season of life than many of you. I'm over 60. Some of you are still in your 20s. So for me, I have a different schedule than many of you. I've already completed my school. I've done the work thing. I'm at the end of my career. And so I'm winding things down. So some disciplines at my age and stage of life are more appropriate for me than they will be for you. If you're a mom, a single mom, or you have got a full busy schedule, then you may not have time to pursue disciplines that take a lot of time. So there may be other disciplines, perhaps breath prayer or just some other kind of centering thing that might be appropriate for the kind of prayer that you have or time that you have. There's a family we know, we know some young families that have, they're just having their children and their life is full of chaos and beauty and diapers. And so I heard one mom say that a spiritual discipline that she discovered was that when she would sit and rock her little baby to sleep, that was a time that she was stilling the little one, but she was also stilling her own soul. And she could feel herself being held and swayed and gently rocked by Jesus himself. And so that was her discipline because it fit her schedule and it worked, and that's what she needed. So just to say that God is creative, and just you have permission, and it's appropriate to find things that fit your time and your temperament and your schedule and your opportunity and whatever your soul's longing for. And it starts with desire. And if you're not sure what you need, then do what everybody else says to do because it works. Ask Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit. You know me. What do you want from me? For some of us, we need rest. Sometimes it's just a practical thing. Get 8 hours of sleep a night. Sometimes, as Jesus did with the disciples, they just had a furiously busy time of ministry. The crowds are following him. He's healing them. He's teaching them things. And then he says, come away with me. And actually, the paraphrase is, he says to his disciples, come apart before you come apart. And for some of us, coming away, keeping company, just stopping. Even some relationships that people are in that are demanding or sucking life out of you, you have to have boundaries. Having an intentional practice of recognizing which relationships are life-giving and which ones aren't, and limiting having less of the one that sucks life out of you, and then keep company with those people that give you life, or that can, you know, even just recognizing those kinds of things. And we all want to do good. We want to love the poor. We want to do all that we can. As Wesley said, do all the good you can all the time, everywhere you can, every time you can, in every way you can. And that's all good, but sometimes we just need to recognize a balance or have an appropriate boundary. Okay, before I use up all the time, there are many, many spiritual disciplines, and there are many books written about spiritual disciplines. There are many great ones. Jill will tell you about this one here. Richard Foster, Celebration of Discipline. Dallas Willard, Spirit of the Disciplines. There's another book called Adele Calhoun, The Spiritual Discipline Handbook. There's another one, The Sacred Way, written by an American, which is very good. He includes various disciplines that Protestants wouldn't necessarily be familiar with. You'll have to read it. Anyway, there's loads of stuff on the market. You can check websites. There's Google, whatever discipline you've heard about, and check it out. But there's loads. Some are classic and some are brand new and unconventional. And I'm going to invite Jill to talk about practical spiritual disciplines.
We're actually going to just take 5 minutes in small groups because I know the time of day, and sitting here listening to people speak after having eaten that excellent lunch and our very intense spiritual morning, I don't want you sliding off your chairs and you know. So I want you to turn to the person beside you, and I want you to talk about how, what spiritual discipline or what do you do in your life that helps you feel most connected to God or opens your heart and your life to God? And it doesn't have to be what we would call a classic spiritual discipline. Peter's mentioned a lot of them: prayer, fasting, solitude, silence. Those things we would call classic spiritual disciplines. But it might be something so, but that is. So let's turn to the person beside you, and I want you to share with them for like 5 minutes or less what helps you feel most connected to God. All right, let's wind it up. Maybe you got some ideas. Let me tell you about one spiritual discipline that I discovered when I was coming home from a trip. I was traveling, had arrived in the Toronto Pearson International Airport, and I was coming down the escalator to where the baggage thing was, and I saw we had television screens with the news flash. And I came down, and the current news was that a gunman had broken into our Parliament buildings. And while Parliament was in session, so our Prime Minister was there, our House of Commons, they were all there, and there was somebody with a gun, had already killed a guard outside of the Parliament and was in there. So I came down, and you know, in modern day sensibilities and our sensitivity around terrorist stuff, I discovered a new spiritual discipline. The new spiritual discipline was contemplating my mortality. This is actually a classic spiritual discipline. The early fathers, you know, some were reputed to actually have human skulls. They would keep human skulls with them. I don't know where they got them, but anyways. And they would look at the skull and they would think about eternity and that life is just a breath. So I'm coming down the escalator. I'm like, okay, our Parliament building is being attacked. Where's the other likely place that's going to be attacked? Well, airports are good places, right? And I'm thinking, okay, so if there's a terrorist here, and this is what I was really thinking. This is, okay, how do I want to spend my last couple of minutes? Is there a pregnant woman I can throw myself in front of, you know, to just make it worth it or whatever, you know? So I had a minute. So I was contemplating my mortality and the shortness of my days. And it reminds me, this right now is, I've read tons of books on spiritual disciplines. This right now is my favorite Canadian, you know, he's a Canadian author, makes him my favorite. His name's Michael Yankoski, The Sacred Year. This was about a guy who actually wrote a book that got really popular, and then he did the conference circuit. Maybe one day he taught at a 24/7 conference, I don't know. But doing the conference circuit, he lost his soul. And he went into that dusty, dry place that Peter talks about. So he went to a monastery and he found a monk and he said, "Help me find my soul." And the monk started him on a year of experimenting with spiritual practices. So Mike, he wanted to try contemplating his mortality. So he went on eBay to see if he could find a human skull. He just thought, well, you know, the early fathers had human skulls, so maybe I'll get a skull and I can look at the skull and think about yes, everybody's translating it in their brain. What did she really say, a human skull? Yes, he was looking. And then he realized that he could not legally get a human skull on eBay. There is, however, a black market, at which point his wife put her foot down and said, "You are not buying a human skull and bringing it to our house as a spiritual discipline. This is not good. I'm not okay with this." So instead, what he decided to do was he said, he went to the local cemetery, graveyard, and he asked the cemetery, "Can I dig a grave by hand? I'll do it fast. It'll just take a day." And they thought he was crazy, but he thought, you know, I'm going to think about eternity. I'm going to contemplate my mortality, that life is just a breath, and I'm going to dig a grave with my own hands. And so he did. He dug a grave with his own hands, and then he finished it before the day was over, and as the sun went down, he lay down in it. He just kind of lay there and thought about life and death. That was his spiritual practice. That was his spiritual discipline that actually opened some space in his heart for Jesus in a new way. I'm not telling you to go on eBay and look for human skulls. That's not, you know, don't say, "Well, Jill had this workshop and then we actually have a collection of animal skulls," but that's a whole other thing. So all that to say is sometimes our on-ramp into the highway of God's presence can be a little bit unconventional. And maybe some of you use some spiritual disciplines that are maybe a little bit different than what we would call sort of classical spiritual disciplines. So here's where your buddy is going to tell on you. All right, did you know? You're going to tell on each other. In your small group, did somebody share a spiritual discipline that was new or unusual for you, different than what you have experienced? Yes. Wonderful. I'm going to repeat it for the tape. So the spiritual discipline is, instead of taking the quickest route, taking side routes, enjoying creation as you're driving and praising God as you drive. Fantastic. Good. Yes.
Floating on the water and looking up and praying to
God. On the water or underwater?
On.
On. Okay. Just, yeah. So floating on water. Okay, there we go. So in water, under or over, it's all good. On your back, looking at the sky and contemplating God. Wonderful, the feeling of floating. There's actually, in my study on the spiritual disciplines, there's this, they call it the spiritual practice of embodiment. Actually being in your body, and there's lots of spiritual practices around that, but actually being in water can be, yeah, it's a physical sensation unlike other sensations. And of course, seeing the sky and seeing beauty, those are on-ramps, those are access ways to open to God. Wonderful. More. You're creative, you're 24/7 people, so there's going to be some good ones. Yes.
Going for a very long run and having music on and between sort of actually queuing up to meet with the Spirit just for getting away from everywhere and everything.
Very good. Going on a long run. The endorphin kick helps with that too, right? Yeah. So got a music, worshiping on a long run. Again, the worship, that's got your mind going, but there's something, again, with the spiritual practice of embodiment, getting your body in motion also. You know, in Western Christianity, you guys, we have separated minds and hearts from bodies. We have to learn how to get back into our body, because we can then offer up our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord. I read that somewhere, maybe in Hebrews. So, anybody else? Yes?
Not that it's unusual, but I think it's the core of what we should do. It's about God, because we hear about Father's heart and how it's like a garden and all that, and just getting to nature, because that's what he created. And Francis was talking about getting rid of, you know, the bits on the roses that need to be removed, deadheading, things like that. So, yeah, nurturing.
Wonderful. So gardening as spiritual discipline, deadheading plants, being out in creation, getting your fingers with dirt underneath them, puttering. I love to cook. I love to bake. I my church actually meets on Sunday afternoon, and I live in a community house, so everybody goes to church Sunday morning, and I have the house to myself. Which is wonderful, and often I will bake because I am in solitude, I'm in silence, I'm quietly working with my hands, and I'm creative. It's creative. I'm creating something. Plus, there's the smell when things are baking, and for me, that has become an open door of my heart to God. It's a very precious time for me to be with Jesus in my week. So I'm just puttering. I'm in the kitchen. I'm working quietly with my hands. In the Benedictine tradition, they would call ora e labora. So they would pray seven times a day, and in between, they would do manual labor. So they would do farming or gardening or making bread but something quietly with their hands. Again, the physicality of it, using their bodies. So that they can be attentive to the presence of Jesus within them. And of course, there is the very famous Brother Lawrence practicing the presence of God. He wanted to do great things for God. They said, awesome, let's wash pots and peel potatoes. So there in the kitchen, he had to learn to be attentive to God's presence. So he is the prime example of puttering as a spiritual discipline. Good. Anybody else?
I have one.
Okay.
I've been hearing the voice of God regularly since I got married, and surprisingly, it sounds like a woman's voice. And my wife has encouraged me to take up a spiritual discipline, which I have. When you spoke about driving on the motorway, it reminded me that my spiritual discipline is to bless the other drivers and not curse them. I would drive and I'd complain about the slow drivers or the bad driving. And she says, no, no, bless them. So now, literally, when I drive, when I get behind somebody who's doing something really irritating, I bless you, slow driver. Now get out of the way. But I bless you.
Very good. Last chance. Did you hear of any other spiritual disciplines for you that were maybe new or different than what you have learned about? Yes. Wonderful. So going into the scripture, imagining the sights, the sounds, the smells. They call that gospel contemplation. It's actually an Ignatian prayer practice. So again, time-honored, but over the centuries, people have been doing that. Entering into the story. Yes, God can use your sanctified imagination. And as you enter into the story, the gospels can come alive to you. So if you, we went through that blind Bartimaeus passage at the beginning in a Lectio Divina style of meditating on scripture. You can go through that passage again in a gospel contemplation type of meditation. Put yourself in the story. Are you in the crowd? Are you a disciple? Are you Bartimaeus? Are you the blanket that's been thrown off? Like, where are you in the story? And what is Jesus, how does he want to meet you in that? So that can be a really wonderful way. We have 5 minutes. So, oh, yes, one last. Wonderful. Meditating on the names or the attributes of God. Very good. There's a wonderful book out. I'm going to expand on that a little book. There's a wonderful little book out called Praying with Color or Praying in Color. And somebody has done that. They've taken the name and the attributes of God and plain paper and pencil crayons. So they would write the name or the attribute of God in the middle of the paper, and then they would start to draw whatever comes to mind around that, just doodly drawing. And, you know, it's like coloring books for grown-ups. Is that as popular here as it is in Canada right now? Everybody's coloring. Coloring actually is a way to quieten the mind and to open up kind of the doors of creativity of our hearts. So even coloring around, yeah, the names of God is another way to do that. Okay, 2 minutes left. We have time for two. Does anybody have any pressing questions about spiritual disciplines? Oh, we're so like clear and concise and you got it. Well, I hope that's helpful for you. It's good to know what spiritual disciplines are and what they are not. It's good to start with desire. And you know what, you guys, here's my last tip for you. If you are finding your spiritual disciplines dry, like it's hard to get to them and it's like, oh, I got to get up and open my Bible or pray, you know, and it's just feeling dry. Okay, what you need to do is stop what you're doing and then dig back into desire and longing. What do you want? What do you want from God? And it's actually, desire is the doorway to that kind of deepening communion with Jesus, but we have to be in touch with it and in touch with our longings. And that's what is that will actually motivate our heart. Because, you know, we can know the spiritual disciplines, knowing them, and actually being motivated to do them are two different things. I am, right? But it's desire, you guys. It's longing. It's because, you know, we've had such great speakers today. Johannes Hartel, because he's beautiful. Hey? Because he's beautiful. There's a longing. Because we need him. Because we want him. Because we love him. So we will create disciplines and practices in our lives that will open up our hearts and our lives before him to make space for God. I have a wonderful friend, his name's Abraham, he's on our staff, he's a Congolese pastor. He loves to fast. In Congo, they fast, they know how to fast. And so we go into prayer meeting, we'd be like, Abraham, do you want lunch? And he's like, no, have to leave more room for the Holy Spirit, you know? And it's like, we want to create room in our hearts and our lives for him because we want more of him, hey? So. Good, let me pray for you, and then you guys can run around for 15 minutes and then head off to your next workshop. So Jesus, we love you, we want you, we need you, we know that we have need of you. And so Lord, I ask for each one here that if we are not yet in touch with desire, if we don't know what our soul wants to say to you, would you, by your grace, stir up desire and longing in our hearts? Would you put salt on our lips? Would you give us the gift of hunger? And Lord, I pray that as that hunger stirs up, Lord, that you would show us how you want to meet with us. Would you show us what your particular invitation is to us at this time? As Peter said, different times of our lives, different ways of being with you. God, I know that you want to be with each person in this room in a particular way right now in this season of their life. And would you just send that invitation to them? Would they hear your voice, your invitation? And Lord, would you help them to make space and to make room with whatever practice to them gives life? And may we meet you in those places. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you for your time and your attention. Hopefully you've learned something from your neighbor there that will be useful for you. And have a good afternoon, everybody.